fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. I want to talk this morning about trusting in God, the importance of trusting in the Lord, the fundamental disposition of a believer and what God is inviting every single human being to in Jesus Christ and offering his son to us is to see in Jesus, first, the love of the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life, to see the love of the Father revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, but also see in Jesus, the scripture talks about in Jesus is coming that the light has come. And the light that has come is a revelation. And that revelation is the opening of heaven, the revelation of who God is, first of all, that God is our Father, that God is love, is at the core of who God is. But it's also a revelation about what it means to be human, who we are. Jesus comes to show us not only who God is, but to show us who we are. He shows us the good God, the loving God, the Lord of all. But he also shows us how each one of us is called to live, called to walk in this world. What's the way to human happiness? What's the way to human fulfillment? How do I live in such a way that corresponds to the reason I was made? Jesus reveals it. That's part of the great confusion in the world today, especially since the culture is turning its back on it more and more in the West. And we've bought the lie that's been coming at us for hundreds of years now, since really the French Revolution and the Enlightenment, that somehow man's advancement can only happen. Man's happiness, man's freedom can only happen if God's cut out of the picture. You know, some of the philosophers saying that the God thing was man's creation, a projection of his idealized self into the heavens. And we created it. It's a myth. And then we bow down before it. We bow down before that idealization that we create of ourselves. And we pray to this God in heaven to make us like our own projection. Or that it's a consolation for us. It was a way to deal with all the mysteries we didn't understand about life, about sickness, about disease, about where we come from, where we're going. And today, in an implicit sort of default mode, leaning on a worldview of scientism and ideology, I'm not talking about science and good science. I'm talking about an ideology that says there is no metaphysical world. There is no world beyond the physical. There is no God in heaven. There's no mind that created everything. There is no purpose or design built into who we are and where we're going. There's no way of knowing things beyond our own exercise or use of the scientific method to get to the facts and the data of life, of matter, of the material world that's in motion and movement. Scientism is the absolute rejection of anything beyond that. And so part of that rejection is to deny everything about revelation. Scripture would say to us, Catholic Church, the saints, they all give us the same understanding. Not only the revelation of who God is, who we are, but that wisdom, that is the capacity to choose rightly, to live well, to live in accord with our own being and who we are, what we're called to be. Wisdom is the pathway to living well. It's ultimately the pathway to happiness. To reject God, to deny the metaphysical world, to deny that there's anything beyond just matter here in motion, is foolishness. It's a kind of slavery. But what we're doing is we're acting as if that insight is the only hope for the human race. It's the only way to happiness, if happiness actually can be found in this world. I want to read some passages from the Old Testament, New Testament today that just help us understand the importance of trusting in God and the wisdom of that choice. And that wisdom is revealed, first of all, in the person of Jesus. Jesus fulfills everything within the Old Testament that pointed to how man is supposed to live and find human happiness and reach fulfillment. Jesus actually shows us the way to wisdom, the way to live in wisdom, which is the way to find fulfillment and happiness in our lives. And that wisdom is most perfectly revealed on the cross. That sign of contradiction. What looked like disaster, what looked like tragedy, what looked like failure, is in fact victory. Because Jesus is saying yes to the Father and the Father's plan. And he's trusting God. He's not trusting in his own understanding. He's trusting God. And that trust, despite what it looks like to everybody else around him, ends up being the pathway to eternal life for all of us. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight and your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." This is one of those simple and direct exhortations from the scripture that speak fundamental truth. That if we literally follow this, if we do this, we're going to find life. We're going to find a home. We're going to find the place we were meant to be. We're going to be with God. Let me read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is trust? Trust is that abandonment of our heart, soul, mind, strength, our whole person, our whole being to God, because God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is worthy of our full surrender. Here's the battle. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, that God had given them this beautiful garden to live in, provided for them in every way. And the devil comes to tempt them. And what does he say? He challenges them on the command that God gave them to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what does he say? First, he casts doubt. Did God really say that? He told you not to eat of that tree? I wonder why he would do that. Did you ever ask yourself that, Adam and Eve, why he would not allow you to eat from that tree? Yeah, that's kind of an interesting question. We have this whole other garden, but why does he not want us to touch this tree? And then Satan begins to lie. He begins to deceive them, to take them away from the truth. And what is his attack? His attack begins to be on the very character, intention, nature of God. And he begins to sow seeds and lies into the mind and their heart, doubts about God. Maybe God doesn't want you to eat from that tree, because if you eat from that tree, you're going to be as powerful as he is. Then you're not going to have to depend on him anymore. And he doesn't want any rival. Do you get it? You see what he's doing? I think that's what he's doing. What do you think? So he sows doubt. And God, who is absolutely trustworthy, God who is a father, God who is love itself, the enemy sows a deception and a lie that God is somehow our rival, that God is purposely denying Adam and Eve something that they should be able to have because he doesn't want anybody to be as powerful as he is. And somehow he's deceiving them so he can rule over them. There's the fundamental lie of the enemy. It's a lie about the nature and the character of God. So the scriptures exhort us again and again, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Why? Because he is trustworthy. Because we were literally made for him. We belong to him. Our happiness is found only in him and in nothing else, ultimately. Every other kind of happiness, if it's authentic happiness, is a reflection of the happiness and the life and the goodness that God brings to us. Because everything that is good that touches our lives is from God. It's made by him. It's made for him, just like each and every one of us. So God made us free. This is why trust is so important. God offers us existence and he offers us a creation. He invites us into relationship with him. And that requires trust. Do I believe that God is trustworthy? So here's Jesus, the revelation, the light that has come on the cross. I mean, remember throughout his whole life, Jesus said, I'm here to do the will of my Father. Literally, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. That's what feeds me. That's what gives me life. Because everything else I have, even the literal material food that I eat, the possessions that I might have, whatever I might gather to myself that gives me security or identity or whatever, all that is passing. It can come and go. I can have it. I can have a lot of it. I can have little of it. Ultimately, it doesn't affect me. What really is determinant for me, Jesus says, what really defines me and secures my own fulfillment and happiness is to feed on my Father's word and my Father's command. That's one thing we should never break from. We should cling to the Father and cling to his every command. Thy will be done. That's why Jesus taught us the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want to hallow your name. I want to honor your name. You who are my Father, the holy God, thy kingdom come. I want your kingdom to come and I want your will to be done. That's the prayer Jesus taught all of his disciples. That's the prayer of Jesus Christ's heart. That's Jesus' life. Bring the kingdom and the will of the Father. That's it. And so Jesus said, my food is to do that. That's what I'm living for. I know that my Father deserves that response because he's love itself, because he's trustworthy. A beautiful line I've mentioned many times in John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus said to his disciples, I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. I'm answering the Father's love with love. And that love is rooted in this capacity to trust, to radically abandon ourselves to him. That's the drama that's being lived out in your life. How's it going? How is it going? What's the status? What's the condition of your own heart in relationship to the Father? In relationship to Jesus' command now as Lord of your life? Do you trust him? Are you surrendering and abandoning yourself to him? How do you know if you're doing that? Well, are you obeying his commandments? I mean, Jesus is so clear about that. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Lots of people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I knew you. But he's going to say, I don't recognize you. Why? Because you didn't obey my commands. There's a tremendous disconnect, friends, that's happening in our culture today. Among Catholics, I just want to talk about Catholics. Catholics who say they're Catholic, but reject so many of the commands of the Lord, the ones that our culture doesn't like anymore. We actually conform to the culture instead of conforming ourselves to Christ. That's not trusting in the Lord. That's the decision that's an expression of enslavement to the principalities of this world, the scripture says. A darkened mind, choosing futility over freedom and happiness and the way to life. I want to continue this subject tomorrow. I hope you can tune in. Invite your friends to do the same. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.